Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the It Doesn't Matter podcast. And we have myself, Strapman Day, Strapfax, John, and we have...
The Dominican Dream, baby. The Seals, Papi Platino.
There he is. And we have...
I am the Notorious One. I am Dom. Viva la raza.
There. Ooh. That guy is. All right. We are discussing, I believe it's your choice, Dom.
My choice. I chose this.
In demand, on demand, his choice, the viewer's choice.
In fuego.
The host's choice. WWE Judgment Day 2004. And what made you choose this show, Dom?
I chose this show because I never seen it. I want to see what happened. I know the outcome of the main event, but SmackDown was hot back in 2003, 2004. So I figure we take it back. Plus, it's an anniversary show. So I figure we get right up into it.
Ooh.
Yes. And this show kicks off, is rated MA, mature audience only. And none of us should be watching this show because we ain't mature.
Man, I heard that tone.
Doesn't matter.
I haven't heard that tone in a while. Was that a WWE Network exclusive tone?
Yeah.
Like, oh man, took me back for a second. What's so mature about it? Well, we'll find out by the end of the show.
For sure. All rise for the Judgment Day.
Hey,
the Judgment Day is upon us.
I guess it is. Drinking that Four Loko.
That Four Loko. Ugh. All right. So here we go. So SmackDown. It's a SmackDown branded pay-per-view. And I miss the brand oriented pay-per-view. SmackDown have theirs, Raw have theirs, and they meet up in the middle. I miss that.
Because they should bring
build,
that back.
They should. The build was crazy.
I mean, you got two titles, yeah. both sides, two champions. You don't have one dominant one like Roman Reigns anymore. You might as well just go with one brand, build a story, and then do the other one.
Yeah, I don't know much about the undercard, like the stories behind it, but I know the main event, which we will get to a little bit later. But we're going to kick it off. SmackDown pay-per-view. It takes place in Hollywood in the Staples Center, home of Kobe Bryant, the Lakers.
And was he the one in trial?
Unfortunately.
At the time?
Where AW at?
As mentioned on commentary, as mentioned on WWE commentary.
Yep.
All right. So we got the GOATs, Michael Cole and Taz on the announced team.
Wait, didn't somebody get fired for that? Like after that point, or was it a couple of years later for making a comment about what went on with Kobe?
AW, yes. Abraham Washington. He was like, we up here like Kobe in Colorado.
Oh.
No, keep going.
I don't know that part.
You don't know that part?
No, I don't want to.
Go ahead, do it. Do it.
I'm like Kobe Bryant in a hotel room. Unstoppable!
Oh, my God. Yep. You're fired.
I love A&W. Root beer, that is.
Yep.
Yes, me too. All right, wow. So our first match is a Hall of Fame worthy tag team match. We have the Dudley Boys taking on Rey Mysterio and Rob Van Dam. Guys, this is a fun match, a good opening match. Platino, what do you think about this match?
Honestly, I was surprised that Rey Mysterio was the one that was the guy getting the hot tag instead of Rob Van Dam. Normally, I would think Rey would be the one fighting underneath, and then he would try to get the tag for Rob, but hey, the Dudleys again. You can't go wrong with a Dudleys match. They know how to do tag team wrestling, and for me, it was a perfect start to the night. Look at that kick. That one's from Harvard.
Right,
the other one went to Yale.
Yeah, but during this match, Bubba was vicious, man. He was tearing Ray up. I know that's not saying much, because remember when Kevin Nash threw Rey Mysterio like a lawn dart? Everybody remembers that. But man, Rey, he got his ass whipped. Bubba was vicious. Bubba is smart, and he talked a whole lot of shit. And I love that about Bubba Ray Dudley.
It makes you wonder why they never brought out the Bully Ray thing in WWE at that time. Maybe he didn't have it like in his mind yet, but if you say like a couple years back when he came back and he was like, "Hey, let me try that Bully Ray thing," you're like, "No, we're doing the be a star. We don't do the bully stuff." I'm like, "Are you serious? Like some of the characters you have are big bullies. Hey, you got a heel. The name in itself, Bully Ray. Seriously. Whatever." I guess he didn't want to make a star that wasn't his.
Did I send you that? Did I send y'all that video the other day of Bubba Ray wrestling Jimmy Uso? Well, the Dudley Boys versus the Usos.
No, but I do remember that match.
He was beating the hell out of Jimmy Uso.
For your daddy.
This is for your daddy. This is for your granddaddy. This is for your Hollywood cousin. This is for your 97 million family members. Yo, Bubba Ray's the shit, yo.
We had that little interacting we had with him in New York just says it all. Hey, I work here. Oh, man.
We need more heels like that in the business. Like,
yes.
He don't break character.
No.
I remember when we seen him in Lowell Mass, Bully Ray. And then if somebody could do whatever, he'll give the fan $1.
$20.
Gave the $20 bill and he just ripped up Ray from the face and threw it in the face. That's just pretty funny.
The fan actually had a New York hat on at that time and he was like, "You are the bravest motherfucker out here." He gave him the $20. Oh man, that's heel 101, man. If you're gonna learn from somebody how to be heel, learn from Bully.
Cheap heat.
Yeah, it works. Cheap to me, it works though.
Yeah, it cost $20.
It was probably a fake one.
I doubt it. He makes it.
So it's an Obama dollar.
All right, so back to this match. Strat, what do you think about this tag match right here between Rob Van Dam and Rey Mysterio and the Dudley Boys?
You know, I knew the main event, not much about the undercard. So seeing this as the opening match, another great opening match for a pay-per-view. And I'm thinking, this is a highlight. I don't even know the rest of the show, but but by itself, it was like I said, it's a great opener, a lot of action. And you see a lot of familiar faces there. Basically, big stars from Raw, I guess they got drafted over to SmackDown there. Well, three-fourths anyway. And it was just a weird tag team, RVD and Rey Mysterio, Team 420, because 4 feet and the combined size of their shoes is 20, Vince. But you know, RVD and the Dudleys had much history together, and so they would work together well. And Bully Bubba Ray Dudley's heel work was really good. And I was watching this with Nita, and it is, you know, fun watching it with non-wrestling people, non-wrestling fans. And I was glad to see Bubba doing heel work because it made it more entertaining, you know, and that's what wrestling is about, entertainment. And this was a very entertaining match. Definitely matters.
Definitely matters.
All right, first question of the night, John.
What?
Now, we know the Dudleys eventually split and D-Von was on SmackDown, became Reverend D-Von. Was this before or afterwards?
This was afterward. This is their reunion. I mean, they're
okay.
They weren't, you know, it's funny. They were not split apart for very long. The draft was in April of 2002, probably while still the World Wrestling Federation. And they reunited at the Survivor Series at MSG that November 2002. So they weren't separated for that long. Reverend D-Von and singles Bubba Ray did not last very long, but you could see how much impact they had and how much angles and storylines meant at the time. That fall of 2002 for Monday Night Raw was one hell of a time. I mean, Triple H being handed the World Heavyweight title. You had the Raw Roulette TLC match in Vegas with Kane. I think it was Kane and RVD, maybe. Or Kane and the Hurricane winning this TLC match. Jeff Hardy was in it. Jericho, Christian, Bubba and Spike, maybe. It was a crazy, crazy time for Monday Night Raw. And but yeah, they reunited at the Survivor Series later, and they'd be on the Raw brand. They would make it to WrestleMania 19. I think they're on the pre-show.
Oh my God.
I think they were on the pre-show, but they got drafted to SmackDown, and I was thinking about Eddie Guerrero's title defenses as world heavyweight champion. And you know, so he beat Brock Lesnar for the title, he beat Kurt Angle to defending it, but he also had a match with Booker T when he first came drafted to the Raw SmackDown brand. And he also lost to Devon Dudley in a singles match as soon as they got drafted to the SmackDown roster. Oh my God. And then of course his feud with JBL, which would lead to him losing the championship. So anyway, what a title reign for Latino Heat.
Boom.
That's crazy. Strap facts.
This match right here mattered.
Yes.
Definitely.
All right. So after this, we see Booker T backstage, and he's all hyped up, and he's saying he's better than Rob Van Dam, he's better than The Undertaker, and that was the wrong thing to say. Because yep. Later on that night, he has a match with the Dead Man. Next question, Strap. So we know WrestleMania 20, Undertaker has a match with Kane. Yes. And they kept saying this is the biggest surprise ever. They kept hyping him up as, you know, Undertaker's return. Like, he didn't do anything after WrestleMania 20?
Yeah, that was a weird thing, wasn't it? Like, this is a special feature presentation featuring The Undertaker. And, man, when you really think about The Undertaker in 2004, he had a third, fourth, fifth career in the years to come after that, man. He would have the streak to defend. He would have that trilogy, with not the Beyond trilogy with D-Generation X. You know, he would have such a huge afterlife after this. You know, who's considered old and been around too long at this point? A special attraction. Man, he would win the world title, and he was in the tights, the leotard thing, fighting Edge and be one of the top guys on SmackDown facing Batista every week. You know, this guy had much more to him, but at that time they were trying to peg him as a special attraction. They tried to do that with The Big Show. That didn't work and didn't last very long. And that was the very next year. You know, Big Show is, oh, he's winding his career down. They're slowing him down. He feuded with Chris Masters. No, he kept going, man.
That's pretty funny that you said that, because Big Show debuted in WWE at, what, 1999? It's only 2004, so fucking four years? Undertaker's only been there at this time 10 years. Or, no, 14 years.
14 years, yeah.
Yeah. He's so young.
Yeah. You know, he got into that company pretty young, too. He was like, what, 23, 24? These guys, they haven't even hit their wrestling prime, which we would later find out that wrestler's prime is like 40, 45, damn near 50 now. Because
not for Undertaker.
When you have such a high-level character like that, you don't need to do all the moves that everybody's doing, that Action Andrade and all these other guys like the Bucks are doing. You just show up, do your five moves of doom, and call it a night. You're not getting paid by the move. You're getting paid by the character. So,
wouldn't that be something, getting paid by the move?
Yes. Superkick!
Superkick! Oh, damn. My wife's going to kill me.
Oh man, Steve Corina.
Yeah. Oh.
Final battle callback.
Yes.
All right. So after this, we see the Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle. He's your SmackDown general manager. Strap, how did he become general manager?
I don't know how. So in real life, Kurt Angle, you know, he was perpetually injured. Perk Angle was perpetually injured all the time. So this was just another way to get him out of the ring so he could, you know, recover more. In storyline, I think Paul Heyman was ousted as general manager, got fired or whatever, and they were looking for a new general manager. And what do you know? Kurt Angle, fresh off his WrestleMania loss to Eddie Guerrero, screwing Eddie Guerrero, and as your new heel general manager. So I believe that is
all right. Now I'm just curious. So we see Luther Reigns push out this big block, whatever, and Kurt Angle came up through the bottom of it, and he's in his wheelchair with both legs out. And
ugly ass wheelchair. I was like, look at that red, white, and blue wheelchair. I'm like, I don't see it. They didn't turn around. I'm like, so he's wearing a French.
French flag for it, yeah.
Got from Rene Dupree.
All right, so Kurt mentions how Eddie stole the title from him at WrestleMania. And then after this, he blames Tori Wilson for whatever reason, for some bullshit reason. And if she loses her match tonight, she is fired. So our next match, we have Tori Wilson taking on Dawn Marie.
Oh.
I really paid attention to this match, and not for the reason you think. So yes. Get that, you know. I was paying much attention to it for the reason you think, and just comparing it to the, because I'm currently reading. I actually finished it today. Becky Lynch's book, and just before that, I finished AJ Lee's book. Because I'm a reading guy, and just reading their perspective on women's wrestling and women's treatment in WWE and pro wrestling. It wasn't good until very recently. So watching Tori Wilson face Dawn Marie here, it's like, here's divas not allowed to do super cool moves. And can they even wrestle? Are they safe with each other? And they had a limited move set, and you know, Fit Finley was behind it, showing him what they could do and what they could get away with and make it look smooth. And, hey, you know, I think they pulled it off. I think they did a good job for given expectations. But definitely a different era for women's wrestling, even in 2004.
I totally agree with you on that.
I agree as well. This was actually a decent match. These girls actually put their all into this match right here. And then you have that spot where Dawn Marie's tight trunks got ripped, and you know, you see his ass, and yeah,
that's a Vince spot.
Like, oh my god,
that make the old man happy.
Yep, hate to say it. They probably never say it was, but that's a Vince spot. Come on, that unnecessary.
So
is it?
So after this is when the whole Al
mature.
Yeah. So after this, did we see the whole Al Wilson thing?
I was thinking about that. I was like, when the hell did that happen? It's like, I think that was before, later. It might that have been timeline, after. I don't know. I mean, like, I think they would have mentioned it if freaking Dawn Marie had so much sex with Al Wilson that he had a heart attack and died. I think they would have mentioned that in this match. So I think it was still to come. So,
well, she already had her second Playboy cover shoot, right?
Yeah, with Sable. I mean, so Sable's so gone.
So I believe Al Wilson was her. Already Bangle. There as a character. So I believe, yeah. I could be wrong. I'm not sure facts.
I don't know. They ain't show anything in the video, so who knows?
Do not need to brush up on my Al Wilson history.
Me neither.
That's a short show.
Next week on the It Doesn't Matter Rundown, Al Wilson.
Katie Vick. All right.
I like to talk about Katie Vick. That'd be interesting.
Or is it Katie Fick? No one knew.
No one knew.
Why is such a stupid name like that?
What's Ken Shamrock's sister's name?
Ryan.
Ryan.
Yep.
That's right.
So let's talk about a new superstar at this time who was supposed to be pushed to the moon, literally, and it never happened. So we have Scotty Too Hotty taking on Mordecai. John, who the hell is Mordecai?
He's Mordecai, Kevin Fertig. We would know him better in the next 2 years as ECW on sci-fi icon, the vampire, Kevin Thorne. He would have a longer run as that character than he was in this character. And allegedly, you know, they obviously put a lot of money into this production of this guy, the vignettes and the entrance and that stupid logo that looks like a big bad Beetleborg.
Hey, that was my favorite show back then as a kid.
Nerd!
Damn right.
But, you know, I was watching him wrestle in this match, and I mean, I didn't really see anything wrong with what he was doing. I mean, it wasn't terribly exciting, but neither was some other people on the show. So I'm not really sure what happened.
Maybe it was too close to The Undertaker?
Well, that was by design. They wanted Mordecai to be an allusion, not an allusion, but to allude to the Undertaker character, and maybe they, because Undertaker always fought these goofy guys, you know.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. They put him there to fight the Undertaker, but it never happened.
It wasn't necessary. This isn't the 90s. You're evolving, and your guys are getting smarter. I'm talking about the fans. They know what's going on and what's good and what's not. Some of us were just getting tired of this hokey shit as we're growing up. We grew up with Taker and Roddy and all them guys, and yeah, that was fun and nostalgic. But as you get older, you want the real stuff. You want to know what's really being made and how to make damn food. So don't give me that crap.
So at this time in 2004, they wanted darkness versus the light, which we never happened. But in 2011, it happened at WrestleMania 26, darkness versus the light, and the light got retired by the Dead Man. Hey, Rose, you say you want to talk about Shawn Michaels? There you go. I talked to you earlier. You say, want me to talk about Shawn Michaels? I can't help. Every time I reference Shawn Michaels, he loses.
Ooh. Can you really be Mr. WrestleMania if you always are the loser?
I'm glad that L's pointing the right way.
Damn right.
I told Rose that before. I said, yo, he might steal the show and have phenomenal matches. He's not Mr. WrestleMania. His record sucks.
What's he got, like 6-3?
6-3, my ass. He's like 6-12 or some 13, shit like that.
13.
Some 13. Shit like that.
All you need is one good win, and he had that against the Hitman, Bret Hart.
Fuck. That was terrible. There was nothing about no damn sudden death.
Yeah, he got screwed again. Damn, exactly. McMahon. You screwed me in the WrestleMania. You screwed me in the cage match. You screwed me at Survivor Series. Now, I'm going to screw you in court.
Getting the curtain early. Someone's not a fan.
I'm glad I was able to just get that in there.
Oh man,
I told you I was gonna make that show up before.
We'll get into the Brett and Sean thing again,
definitely
another time. But all right, so I wanted to say this, John. Mordecai, he had a better razor's edge than your boy Damian Priest.
It was a good razor's edge, yeah. And I'll give you this, because it was his finish that worked.
Yeah, I hate when guys use that move and don't use that as a finish. That is not
what's Priest's finish. That choke slam yeah. Shit.
Hey, he won the world title with it.
South of Heaven.
South of
Heaven. Oh no! Yeah, is it South of Heaven?
Yeah. He used to use the Crossroads.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. Yep.
Yeah. And then Cody came, and you know, I can't do that no more.
Cody, little baby, you gotta give that little move for my son. You gotta do that.
Rise for the Judgment Day.
And I'll let you win that title deal. You happy?
Happy nappy.
All right, so our next segment, we see Chavo Guerrero and Chavo Sr., Chavo Classic, whatever you want to call them. They're backstage, and Chavo Sr., he's not fully dressed. He got the whitey tighties on and the shirt hanging over, and then Miss Jacqueline comes in with a gif. And basically, this gif is a bra and panties.
Damn it.
And you see Chavo Classic in the background just holding it up and put this away. You're making us look bad. It was pretty funny. It was pretty funny.
Man, seeing Miss Jackie right there, man, just another wasted talent that would have thrived in this era right now. Women that can wrestle were tough, badass bitches. That's that girl back in the day.
First of all, she wouldn't want you to call her a bitch.
Well, you know that.
But you can't say it was wasted talent because she's before her time.
That's true. That is true.
Just like Alundra Blaze, Medusa, whatever you want to call her. Like, it was all about a pretty face back then, at this time.
Yeah.
So Jacqueline didn't have a pretty face.
BDC says she does.
It's like Jacqueline is making an appearance here. It's like, how is she still employed? They'd have that, Black Friday, Black Monday, whatever they want to call it, where they fired a bunch of people, including her. And she would go to TNA and manage America's Most Wanted and Cowboy Jane Storm for a very long time. But hey, you either like Jacqueline or you thought she was okay, or you would buy her Hall of Fame t-shirt on clearance on ShopZone. It was nice to see Jacqueline here, just thinking back, I was like, oh, she was someone from the Attitude Era, and she was just a good talent to have around. So but she was a Cruiserweight champion, and this weird ass angle.
Wasn't she the Cruiserweight champion in freaking WCW as well?
Yeah,
with against Disco.
Or TV champion, Cruiserweight champion.
Something like that. Yeah.
Oh man,
what was that show when she got exposed?
Well, I think it was the British Insurrection or something.
Gotta add that to the notes
or Google it.
Well, we're still Save rated. We're still for rated you. Immature. So
what if the rated immature? What if that was for Don Marie's butt and not for Eddie Guerrero's blood?
I think that's what it was for, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well,
she had that nude thong on.
Yeah, and the nude flavored thong. Mm. Yeah, it tastes like skin.
This isn't strawberries.
It's creamy, though.
You can find this on Pornhub.
Hey, wait a minute.
Hey.
Under jocks.
Strap.
All right,
buddy.
So our next match is for the SmackDown Tag Titles. We have one Billy Gunn and Hardcore Holly taking on Charlie Haas and Rico with Miss Jackie.
I'm gonna say with a question mark, man.
Yeah,
Rico.
Because I'm curious, how the hell did this team form with Charlie Haas and Jackie, or Charlie Haas and Rico?
It was just a random one, and they won. The story is they won their
man.
They for their first time teaming together, they won the titles, and that was just a random pairing. And tell you what, Vince McMahon loved to do that a lot. And it was weird seeing Billy Gunn and Rico fighting each other. It was weird to see Billy Gunn and Hardcore Holly teaming together for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
But I, clips have surfaced of Rico doing his flamboyant character on Instagram, and they're wonderful. Him begging for a stink face, and
I remember that.
Oh, I love Rico. I think he's tremendous. And listener Tommy the Bull will exclaim, they always, every time he was on TV, they would always remind you that Rico Constantino was a Las Vegas cop. Whatever that
means. What is that supposed to mean?
He's undercover.
I just love Rico. You know what? Get him on the podcast. I'll interview him.
Yeah. Get on the phones. Producer in the background. We need to talk to Rico.
I really liked his work, man. I was a big fan of Rico's, and I liked what he was doing. And eventually, Vince got tired of it, like he does with most of things of that nature, and they got deep pushed, and he probably got fired the same time Jacqueline got fired too. So
he was actually really talented for what he did, man. You go back, maybe you felt uncomfortable because you didn't understand in that time and age, and as we get older, it's like it's just a character. It's just like Adrian Adonis or Goldust. He's androgynous, but the man can wrestle. He surprised me with that spin kick. I was like, wait, hold up. Rob Van Dam's not even doing that with that height.
Well, Rico's an American Gladiator of the highest magnitude.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up, too. He's an American Gladiator. He won one of the championships one night, right? Awesome. Or won the event?
Maybe.
Another wasted talent, though. But, he probably could have been Intercontinental Champion at least.
Could have been a contender. Although, when wrestling breaks the fourth wall where it's like, yes, we know it's a work and it's not real, but it's like sometimes things blur the lines of reality. And for me, this was before this match, before this Judgment Day pay-per-view. He wrestled Ric Flair, Rico, and he beat Ric Flair. And I was like, no. There's only two times I believe I felt that way. I'm like, no, a guy like Rico can't beat Ric Flair even if he's, you know, old and stuff. I'm like, no.
Or Fandango.
I mean, I still like Rico after that, but when Rico pinned Ric Flair, I'm like, no. Man. Not believe.
I was a fan of Rico. When I first seen Rico, I was fascinated with the sideburns. The sideburns was dope. Just seeing that look and then how
I remember you trying to grow that for a while too.
Yeah, man. If I shave my shit now, I could do it, but I ain't doing that. But it was dope. But so back to this match. Rico's playing a lot of mind games. You have two badass former Tough Enough trainers getting pissed off, like, no, you start the match. No, you start the match. Like Rico playing so many mind games, he's breaking both of these tough guys. No homo. But Billy Gunn.
No Diddy.
Oh, Lord, Cassie. Oh, Lord. The video's out.
Yeah. Sorry.
Billy Gunn. Uh-oh. See, here comes the notorious moment. So Billy Gunn got pissed off, and he snuffed Charlie Haas and Rico, just like Diddy snuffed Cassie, but that's another story. But, yeah. Man, like, when these dudes got into the ring, Hardcore Holly and Badass Billy Gunn, Mr. Ass, Daddy Ass, whatever you want to call them, like, they weren't aggressive towards Rico. They took their, you know, their angriness or their, you know, being pissed off against Charlie Haas, and they fucked Charlie Haas up. Like,
yeah, they did.
I guess that's what you gotta do. You gotta sacrifice sometimes. So I got that face. Like, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? I got this guy who's my partner, and I got my wife who's all washed up now. Is it really worth it?
Hey, they found love in a hopeless place, and good for this angle, and good for Charlie Haas.
And it's crazy because Rico is not one of those intimidating guys that's like strikes fear into you. You just uncomfortable with him because of the way he's wrestling with you because of the mind games. It's like, what do you do? You like you said, they're two tough guys. They want to tussle and mess around, but when Rico would get in there, it's like, oh, come on, dude. Don't do that. Don't grab my cheeks. Don't.
Rico had hardcore in a waist lock. He was really getting the momentum there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know, he grabbed Mr. Ass, and Mr. Ass got mad.
He's not a grab man.
Oh, man. So Rico with the super kick, and they get the win.
I would say this match mattered, man. This was actually a really good match compared to what I was expecting. I was thinking it was going to be a shit show, but it came out to be better than what I thought it was going to be. And the surprises with Rico's athleticism, that really, like, okay, let me go back and watch this guy a little bit more.
I enjoyed it. It was an entertaining match, entertaining segment. Yeah, if you could tolerate the homosexual jokes and windows and whatnot, then yeah, it's cool, but it is what it is. It mattered to me. What about you, John?
It definitely matters. Unlike Abel there, when he saw this lineup, this match lineup, I didn't think, oh, I don't know about this. I was very excited to watch it. It delivered, and it gave me whatever I wanted out of it. And as for Charlie Haas, he would actually team with Hardcore Holly. I don't even know when. Maybe the next year.
What is going on?
It didn't matter. But, yeah, it was just a unique match seeing people you know, people you used to know, and people you will want to know many years down the line, daddy ass. And, no, it was just fun to watch Rico, my old friend Rico, and Charlie Haas in a fun match.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and get Rico on the show. I'm going to see what I can do.
Just remember, he's a Las Vegas cop.
Yes. That's all you need to know.
Are you saying WrestleMania? Go find him?
You know, I don't think he does those Russell. I haven't seen his name on those WrestleCon things, so I don't know.
No, I haven't seen him either. That'd be interesting, though.
He might be security or a cameraman like Sim Snuka.
Oh, jeez.
Or a target.
Oh, no. I know where you're going with that, John.
All right.
PJ doesn't do research.
PJ better show up. That's all I know.
You put a down payment on Mr. Polanco?
Find out Tuesday. Horsepower Cigar Lounge and Bar. Lounge, whatever you want to call it.
The Horsepower Cigar Lounge in Montville, Connecticut.
And Staples. Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
All right.
You go there more than me, and I know the damn tagline. Oh, boy.
Think about Rico.
Super Tuesday.
Must be.
Oh, he looks so innocent right there.
Yes.
Poor guy.
All right. So after this, we get a backstage segment of The Undertaker and Paul Bearer. And Paul Bearer said, "This is your judgment day." And Undertaker, like old school, rest in peace.
Doing the same old shit one more time.
You know what? It works.
Yeah.
Sure. But our next match is for the Cruiserweight title. We have Jacqueline taking on Chavo Guerrero. And the stipulation of this match is Chavo is supposed to have one hand tied behind his back.
You know, this match would be very easy to dismiss, but Jacqueline is a professional. Chavo is the ultimate professional. It's why he's had such a long career outside of WWE. I mean, he is a Guerrero after all. He did wrestle with one arm tied behind his back, and he did a really good job. I thought he did an entertaining match with that handicap, even though, Chavo Classic would help him get out of it, and he would cheat to win. Excuse me. But, this match surprised me a lot. I thought it was really entertaining. It's something I would skip, honestly, but I did watch the whole thing as it was presented, and it's very entertaining. So it does matter, this match.
I totally agree. I totally agree. It definitely does matter, because I was like, all right, let's see how Chavo weasels his way out of this match, or weasels his way during the match. But he literally showed out and he slammed her with one arm, showing, oh, okay, I got muscles. I got the juice. He was duffing her in the corner. He's doing everything he had to do. But, typical Guerrero, you got to cheat to win. And Classic got in the ring and he untied his arm, but Chavo still sold it like he was still tied up. And when the referee was distracted, wham, right to the face. he just dogged her out. Oh, Lord, you can't be doing this shit no more. But
yeah, that's why I always feel uncomfortable in matches like that. Always do, bro. It's like you said, I was about to skip it, but I was just like you. I was trying to figure out where is this going to go? How is this going to play out? And sure enough, Chavo pulls out another win, doing a Guerrero thing, cheating to win. I don't feel comfortable with women going against men, especially the size difference. It's just, it doesn't go for me, but Miss Jackie's a hell of a talent, and she can pull something off like that, so I give her props for that. And Chavo, the ultimate talent and wrestler, like you said. He's one reason why guys in Hollywood go to him for stunts, especially with wrestling. He's that dude, and he needs to be praised more than what he's been getting. So,
like this match matters.
It does matter.
Yes, yes. All right, so our next match is for the United States Championship. We have my man John Cena taking on Rene Dupree. Strap, you want to tell the people who Rene Dupree is?
Rene Dupree, drafted from Monday Night Raw, used to be in a tag team with Sylvain Grenier and Rob Conway, the con man, former tag team champions. And, every match on this show, I know there's someone out there who probably loves this show, like up and down the card, because it was new. It was all new wrestlers, all new talent. We're not saying that they were all good or great. We're not saying Mordecai was a great idea or that Rene Dupree would settle out as a top talent in WWE or pro wrestling. or that JBL would be a success or not. We're not saying any of those things, but look at what they had and offered on this pay-per-view, not a TV show, and everything is new. It's different. You did not really see most of this the previous year. I mean, a cynical person like me might say it's because, well, you lost Brock Lesnar, you lost Goldberg, and you had to shuffle the cards around and get everybody here and there, and the town's getting older. But it's like, listen, look at what they're doing. In this match right here, for the U.S. title, John Cena and Rene Dupree, they called it a battle of two young studs going at it. Arguably, they could, you know, it kind of looks like Randy Orton right there, John Cena.
Yeah, it does. That's crazy.
But that's how they built this match, and that's what it was. We didn't know what the future would be. We didn't know if John Cena would sink or swim. We didn't know if Rene Dupree would sink or swim. Yep. But up and down this card, it was new talent, young talent, fresh characters, and whether they panned out or not, that's what this entire pay-per-view was about. And the sold-out crowd of 18,000 in the Staples Center in Los Angeles, they got to see all that. But as for this match here, John Cena and Rene Dupree, John Cena, it's just weird to hear Cena get that pop, get those chants. It's like, what? Yeah. But that's what we liked back then. And his everything about it is very cringe. But at the time, it was really cool. And sometimes you just got to live in the moment. And if you're in that moment, you were a big fan of the Doctor of Thugonomics as United States champion. So, anyway, who's Rene Dupree? That was the number one contender for the U.S. title.
All right, so the video package showed Rene Dupree talking about this country, and then you see Torrey Wilson in the ring with him at the time. Then Dupree says, Fifi, the dog, isn't the only bitch that's in the ring. And that's when Torrey slaps him, and he's about to take her out. Then the Doctor of Thugonomics, your United States champion, come in to make the save. So basically, you got the USA going against France.
Oui, oui.
Yeah. All right. So I enjoyed this match. It was a decent match. It was a good showing for Rene Dupree. Yeah. I felt like he had a lot of potential. I don't know what happened. Like, how come he's really still not in a major organization right now? He still does independent work, but he looks completely different from how he looks right now.
But he was young at that time too, right? He was about 19, 20, 20 years old.
Yeah.
He was so like young, he couldn't rent a car.
Yeah. Yeah, so he had to roll with a bunch of guys like Hardcore, I think, and whoever it was. But
here's what I think happened with Rene Dupree's career. John Cena, even at that age, had tremendous influence. You know, guys like John Cena and Randy Orton had the careers of Ken Kennedy in his hands, okay? And so did guys like Kenny Dykstra, okay? Guys like A-Rai, Alex Riley. These guys, these hot young up-and-comers, they might do something accidentally to offend the leader of the chain gang, the Doctor of Thugonomics, John Cena. And the thing that set it up for me was John Cena going for a clothesline to, you know, knock Rene Dupree out of the ring over the top. And there was a little botch there. Rene Dupree didn't make it all the way up, stumbled, and they just, you know, he just did a drop down and rolled out of the ring that way. I think all that was all it took for John Cena, a political John Cena, to go to the leaders in the back and say, this guy can't work.
So 2 months before then, John won the United States Championship from Big Show, right? WrestleMania 20.
Only 4 years in.
Yeah, so at this time, did you guys think John Cena was going to be the guy?
At this time, no, but I did like this character for some reason. It was different from everybody else's. I mean, I was into rap at this time, so this was kind of cool for me. But he knew his promos were incredible. Just the way he would just break it down on people, and he'd basically just undress them. No digging, but yeah. And just make them look like idiots. And you couldn't stop it. Especially now, when they were saying, when Cena had that run as a babyface for so many years, oh, we should have turned him heel. If he had turned heel, he would have had a run damn near close to what Roman Reigns had as the tribal chief. He would have just shut down everybody, and everybody would have been even more pissed off that he's still the champion, because there's no way you're going to keep up with the promos that he had. the guy could wrestle. Yeah, he had his five moves with Doom. Maybe he looked clunky and it wasn't what everybody saw as like Randy Orton and Jericho and all the other guys, but he knew what he had to do. He had the promos. He was selling merch. He was doing all the Make-A-Wish more than anyone in the whole entire world. The guy was the stud, the man, so he earned it. Maybe we didn't see it because obviously we're not in the business and we don't know what's behind scenes, but when you do all that shit, that's why you're labeled as the GOAT. So, you know what, Cena? You get that.
You know what, Cena?
You know what, Cena?
John Cena making an appearance at the Norwich Town Mall. I showed up. The line was long as hell. I left.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he probably would have gave you an autograph if you stayed the whole time, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's K&M All-Stars. Sure, yeah, yeah. That's all right.
All right, so the finish of the match is Cena throws Rene Dupree into the corner, and Rene tries to do one of them, you know, basically jump over Cena. Cena caught him. F you, not no attitude adjustment, the F you. 1, 2, 3. John Cena is your winner, and this is the only mistake Dupree made, and that cost him the match. Yeah. So after this, Dupree wins a tag title later on, because we see a video package of a new superstar approaching in the WWE, and his name is Kenzo Suzuki, and we mentioned him before. Them two had a tag match, and I forgot whatever show we talked about. But Kenzo Suzuki, Rene Dupree, Fifi, and what's her name? Hiroshi?
Yeah.
Something like that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Oh, boy.
But this next match does matter. It's a special attraction match. He's only been gone about 2 months. We get The Undertaker taking on Booker T.
Oh, man. Sheesh.
And you know what? I love this match, right? It was a good match because...
Oh, boy.
Booker T, he came out. He, like, he brought it to Undertaker. You know, usually any person you see approach The Undertaker, he... You know, he backs up. He's scared. Nah, Booker T, you know, weeks up before the match, he met with Miss Cleo. Miss Cleo said, you got to take something of his. So he went to the grave, and he found some dirt and had it in a little Crown Royale bag, and he brought it to the ring, had them all hyped up, and, you know, he brought it to Taker.
I hope he got his money back from Miss Cleo.
That's why she... Never mind. R.I.P. Miss Cleo.
Because what she saw in his future did not come to pass.
Oh, Lord. Seriously. But Booker, man. He brought it, man. Booker,
yeah,
he brought it. They was going back and forth, and I liked when when Booker threw the dirt in his face, Undertaker just looked at him like really?
What are you doing?
So you can see this is the different Undertaker. He got more of a, you know, realness to him.
He's starting to incorporate the whole MMA thing at the time, right?
Yeah. Because I don't know what that hold was that he had Booker T in, because that wasn't the Hell's Gate.
No, it wasn't. It was... What the hell was it? I should have took a look at it. I should have put it in my notes. But he wasn't using MMA-style moves before, so this was like adding on to his character and adding on to the evolution of The Undertaker. He was starting to go into the... He didn't get into leotards yet, huh? So he's... I'm looking at the picture.
Stop looking at his crotch.
Stop it.
John, what do you think about this match?
I saw it in a different way. I didn't really like it that much. I thought it was very paint by numbers. I mean, everything the Undertaker does, he did. As for Booker T, he was there. I mean, he wasn't being lazy or anything like that, but I mean, he wasn't getting squashed, so he held his own. But I just thought the match was very plain and didn't really excite me too much. You know, I was hoping to get a little more out of these two legends, these two main eventers, these two Hall of Famers. But it just didn't do it for me. So I didn't really like the match that much.
You know, one thing I, at this time, I did not like. Yeah, Undertaker, he was gone. He went from Big Evil to Back to the Dead Man. And then I never liked what Michael Cole said. Old school. Vinci. Like,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, he never had a name for the move when he walked on the rope. Like, I just hated old school. Like, just the name itself.
And I, you can tell Vince is in there, his ear. Vintage Undertaker. Vintage. I'm like, oh, man. This is why we hated Michael Cole. Later to find out it wasn't him talking. It was Vince. poor guy, man. That's why he's the GOAT. To deal with that and still be in the business. Jesus.
You got to do your job.
Say it. Say it, goddammit. Say it. Is he yelling in your ear? Nope.
That's what she said.
Oh, boy.
The Undertaker is your winner.
Oh, yes.
Looks like Foghorn Leghorn.
I say it, son. You talk too much. You talk too much. There's a chicken right there.
All right, for your main event, the match that everybody knows how bloodied it got. Oof. We have John Bradshaw Layfield, JBL, taking on the World Heavyweight Champion, Undisputed Heavyweight Champion, Eddie Guerrero. And basically, it kicks off with at a live show, live event, whatever. Eddie Guerrero's mom had a heart attack, and JBL came in the ring, and being that dastardly heel that he is, and that's when it took off from there. So, who wants to get into it first?
I'll let John start it off.
So this was a match. And it, you know, they did show the pre-match promo. I mean, not the promo, but the hype video, you know, showing the storylines and giving, all right. Giving, you know, they showed a segment from a house show, you know, giving Eddie Guerrero's mom a heart attack of some sort. So putting a lot of juice behind this feud here, and Eddie Guerrero coming out, in the low rider, as he typically does, and starting the match off really hot, going right after JBL, and they take it to ringside right away. They're doing all the brawling. They're not doing any catch-as-catch-can wrestling in the ring. No, they're going all over the place. And, you know, JBL still developing his character here, but they're going at it. And eventually, you know, they get cut up, and he gets cut up, and he just wouldn't stop. The man won't stop bleeding. Gosh darn it. And it got to the point of really, like, I mean, I know we've become sensitized now, so even seeing it anymore, not really a fan of it, and going back in time to watch this, it's very uncomfortable. Very. Oh my god. And doctors, EMTs, referees down, you know, just trying to take a look and make sure that he's okay, going beyond kayfabe here. But it was a quite a lengthy match, and I just don't know what they were thinking. I really don't know what they were thinking here, booking-wise. I mean, Eddie Guerrero was able to keep the championship here. They would have that rematch the next month at the Great American Bash, but why would you send the fan? You're not sending the fans home happy like this. And no. They kept saying it was 18,000 fans sold out the Staples Center. I don't know how they did it. They must have papered that house with the car in line that they had. Like I said, there are probably a minority of fans that really like the show based upon, you know, that new talent initiative. But, yeah, the card as a whole, it was interesting, but it's always capped off by a great main event. And like I said, it wasn't a happy ending, but they definitely walked away with something memorable. And who's to say which is the better impression to leave with your fans?
Man.
Well, no pun intended, this was gory. Not gory Guerrero, but this was definitely a gory match. Thanks. And what's a better match is when you have it with one of your closest friends, because basically everything goes. Well, not at this time. People didn't know that, but
we know it now.
Yeah, it was a banger. It literally was. And then when JBL hit Eddie with that chair shot, clean. My God. Yeah. Okay. Yes. People that don't know, yes, Eddie bladed, but the man bladed too deeply, and that was a lot of blood.
Yeah,
a lot of blood.
I was watching that with Nikki because she was cooking in the kitchen and she saw that scene. She's like, "Is that fake blood?" I said, "No, that's real." I was like, "Yeah, you can't fake that." She's like, "They need to stop that." I'm like, "They didn't know about the stuff that they do now."
That was nasty. They're like, "Yo, like I've never seen something like." A puddle all over you, a puddle all over me. It's all just yours. Like that's crazy right there.
I don't even think Sean bled like that. And Sean's had some bloody nights, and then Ric Flair too. I don't think he even bled like that.
Maybe he took some Tylenol.
Jeez, man, and Tylenol's not doing that. That was bad.
And you would think when JBL hit the clothesline from hell, even though the ref came out late, that could have been it. When he hit him with the power bomb. You think that would have been it, but nah, Eddie, he got that little machismo in him and tended for the frog splash, and he missed. But, man, you have a lot of heart, because I heard that after the match, like, he didn't want to go to the hospital. I'm like, yo, if you don't go to the hospital, like, you could possibly pass out, die.
Yeah, they forced him to the hospital. He said, you're not going to the next town before you go to the hospital, or you're fired. Like, basically, dude, this is your life, like, it's not worth it. Yeah, we do a lot of shit that most fans would never understand, but look at that. Just that's from one guy. My God, man. I get it, the intensity and the rivalry. You might need some blood to make some more money, but that was just gory.
That's gory. A gory special.
Yeah, you know, they were in Los Angeles. A lot of celebrities in the house.
Shoot.
OJ was in the house too. I think he was the only one clapping when he saw the ring canvas like that. But that's enough about that.
Guys, did this match matter?
It did. It mattered.
Yes. Did the show matter?
Yes, it did.
This show remind me of a good WCW show. You know, you start out with your most entertaining match. You cruise the waist, but you know you got the one of the greatest tag teams, and you got RVD and Rey Mysterio, so you know that's going to be a banger right there. And then you have everything in the middle to work your way up. Then you got the nostalgic act. You got the Undertaker going to take on Booker T. And then we have this massacre right here. Judgment Day was upon us in 2004.
20 years later.
20 years later, the show mattered. Check it out. Check out Rico. Google Rico.
Yeah.
If you're not
gonna watch anything else, check out Rico. This guy made the night just more entertaining than it ever should have been.
Yes, yes. But all right, so next week we have our live show at Horsepower Sega and Lounge. And we have a special guest, Justin Credible from ECW and the WWF. But after that, we have our final show for the month of May. And I know I mentioned it before that I might not say it again, but I'm going to say it one more time, because at the end of the month, we are going to acknowledge the Tribal Chief and his reigns, Roman Reigns. We're going to talk about his run. From when he came back from leukemia, he spit it in the face of leukemia, came back, he won the title. And then we're going to talk about when he lost at WrestleMania. We're going to talk about that whole 3-year span and all the guys that he fought. It's probably like, what, 25 people? In 3 years? That's how we're going to close out the month of May.
Oh, man. If that's how we're going to do it, might as well close it out with a toast. Thank you, Roman. Thank you, Judgment Day. I'm here with Strap Facts John Lee. I am with the notorious one, Dom, the host. And I am the Dominican Dream, baby. The Thiels. The It Doesn't Matter podcast. Salute!
Boom!